Okay, here we are for the second episode of My His Story, and it's about Pat Robertson. This is the story I have never wanted to tell and have not publicly told ever before. So this is unique. Never did this before. I hate to talk about Christian leaders. If you're standing in their shoes and you thoroughly understand what they're thinking and doing and knowing, how they're motivated and what their intentions are, then you can do something like this. I do not believe that I was supposed to tell rumors about any Christian brother or sister, and especially not a pastor of the Word of God. I have avoided doing things like that, and even things that I guess we will discuss some of today. And I had no intention of doing that, but see, what people like to do is they like to take some celebrity. If there's a celebrity involved in anything, you can create some kind of sensational thing around a celebrity. That's going to make the front page. That's something that is the dream of all reporters. So I guess going back around the days whenever Pat Robertson and I carried out our little part together, a year after Pat Robertson and I broke our relationship, this article hit the newspapers in New Jersey, I guess trying to kill two birds with one stone, get a sensational article that involved Pat Robertson. I guess making him look pretty stupid, actually. It even is an article that has his face and his persona right in the middle. It's all written around him. I guess, it's pretty obvious what the goal of the reporter was. So it's kind of get two for one. Do that right in my neighborhood so that you can give me a head rub and then also do it with him. Now I'm going to get into this and I'm going to relate to all of the different parts of this thing. And I did not ever want to do this, but I am doing this because the first episode that I put in the can for this series was about my problem 30 years ago that put me in prison for a year. And that was pretty sensational. He's been in prison. You know, that makes you look pretty bad. And then also about my changing my name, or not my changing my name, about God changing my name. I guess if somebody changes their name and they also went to prison, then all they're doing is just trying to hide from everybody and hide everything about who they are. As I've said before and I say now, I'm very proud of who Dennis Lee is. I am not ashamed of anything Dennis Lee has done, especially since he's become a Christian. Now, there are some things that he did before he became a Christian that I'm telling you now, he was a very not Christian, an atheist through and through, and somebody that absolutely did do some things that I would not be proud of. But since he has become a Christian, I am not in any way, shape, manner, form ashamed of anything he has done, and can't think of one law or rule or anything that he's ever broken. So I'm going to defend that now, and I'm going to relate to the Pat Robertson thing, because that was the other thing that these people that are seeking to try to make me look bad ran out there for the sensationalism of it. Hey, this even involves Pat Robertson of the 700 Club. You know, like, this is a big, stinky deal. So I'm going to start off just tell you that this individual, and I guess he's joined by another individual, that is determined to sow discord. Here's how he characterizes this lie. 2 months after Pat Robertson gave Lee $150,000, he accused Lee of false advertising, operating a pyramid scheme, sales scheme, and unauthorized sales of securities. That's an absolute lie. Pat Robertson has never accused me of anything. Me, Dennis Lee, or me, Josiah David, has never accused me of anything. I had no idea why Pat Robertson pulled the cord. I had no idea. And until this article ran, I never did have any idea and could never find out. Now, if you have the article, you can be looking at it, and I'll just kind of take you through this a little bit. But, you know, Pat Robertson funded me in January of 1979. This article was January 12th, 1978. This article was January 12, 1979. Actually, we met September of 1977. But I'm going to read the article. What remains of the company are several unanswered lawsuits charging Lee with fraud and debts owed to scores of creditors. I never got sued. I never got charged with a crime or anything out of any of that that we're going to be talking about today. Totaling more than $1 million. Jim Scannapico, age 26, assumed a position of leadership in the company shortly after graduating from Fairleigh Dickinson University by investing $36,000 of his family's, his friends, and his own money. Well, part of that's true. His name is Jim Scannapico, and he did invest $36,000 of his and his friends and his own money, I guess. I don't know where he got his money. John Flanagan of Fairview, a paralegal from New York City law firm, answered a business opportunity ad in the record and invested $5,000 into what proved to be a worthless distributorship. Okay. All right. I don't know if that's right or not. Alvin Weichel of Patterson, 56, a lifelong person who invested his life savings, some $65,000, in United Community Services, and lost it all. There's a whole lot more to that story because that's going to be an episode in this series of me and Alvin Weichel, who my heart went out to, and I did everything I could in my power to make sure he did not lose his life savings, and never would have let him do it if he'd have told me it was his life savings. But anyway, we go on. In addition to these local victims, a persuasive Dennis Lee, you know that story from the first episode, sold his UCS concept to Pat Robertson, M.G. Pat Robertson, the president of the multimillion-dollar Virginia-based Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN. Robertson hosted the popular 700 Club religious program. Of course, you know, this is it. This is the big sensationalism. Here's the big boy. Believed Lee's claims of spiritual rebirth enough to give Lee $150,000 through a CBN-owned investment company. Wow. All you got to do is go to Pat Robertson and get him to believe that you really are a Christian, and he'll give you $150,000. See, you got to make him look like he's stupid. Anyway, he believed enough to do that. Later, he learned that Lee was placing false ads in newspapers, never accused of it by anybody, including Pat Robertson, and appeared to be running a phony business. Well, that would look like, boy, he just really didn't know. Let's see if that's going to turn out to be the case here as we go through this. Had the UCS investors bothered to inquire about Dennis Lee, they could have learned all about the one thing that I do say I was convicted of back 45 years ago, of a business reversal with my building company, when the phony fossil fuel crisis hit in 1974. Yep, that is true. I did sign the bad checks. I pled that in court and said, yep, I did sign the checks. I mean, but it not only tore my business apart, it tore away all kinds of construction businesses when that fossil fuel thing hit. So I've already discussed that. Anyway, so now they're talking about, so they got to lay that in there to kind of say, and this really is a bad guy because look what he did. He wrote some bad checks. So, but I was now implicated in something with a big, huge, famous person. So that's what this was all about. And that didn't do me any favors, I can tell you. Anyway, after 3 years, he had managed to sign up some 2,000 participating retailers, which was more like 4,000, by the way, stretching from Rockland County through Bergen, Passaic, Hudson, Essex, and down into Middlesex and Monmouth. The problem was the company wasn't making any money. Costs for employees, offices, rent, telephones, advertising, and promotion appeared to be eating up investment money faster than it could be raised. Well, yeah, that's kind of right. I did get all kinds of businesses on a program that I called the coupon card. And we're going to get into that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it looks like it was booming. 2,000, which actually was 4,000 businesses in participating in the program. Man, I must have been doing something right. Anyway, but I just couldn't get it to happen fast enough. We'll talk about that and what actually did happen there at that particular time. Anyway, another guy put some of his own money in to set up a distributorship. And by the way, this distributorship thing was, I was getting all the stores that would participate in the program, and then I was having to try to go recruit the consumers that were going to be shopping at those stores and dealing with that program. And so ultimately what I did, and one of these days I'll tell you about UCSA, but I actually had some people that were paying the money to get the shoppers. So they would actually pay money to get a number of shoppers with my coupon card, and they then would be the ones going to all of these stores and shopping their heads off, and whatever money we made out of all of that activity, the person that distributed those cards would get a piece of it. So, okay, somebody paid $5,000 to get a bunch of shoppers on the card. They were his shoppers. Anyway, then he persuaded his parents to invest $10,000 more. His aunt and uncle, we're talking about Scannapico, $2,500. Some friends kicked in another $6,000. So Scannapico invested $36,000. Okay, what made him a partner? In an attempt to save his investment, Scannapico became an employee and partner to Lee, often working without pay. He was never a partner to Lee. He didn't work, but he didn't get any pay. He was hanging around the office a lot, I can tell you. His efforts to stir up business and capital for the company aided Lee in continuing the appearance of ongoing business. Well, I guess he went out, he got some shoppers to go out and shop at some of the stores, and so I guess that counted somewhat as I. A born-again Christian, Scannapico, he was certainly that, and I was a devout atheist, and he yapped at me about God all the time, would spend hours at the office discussing religion with Dennis Lee. Well, discussing that, yeah. He'd been watching Pat Robertson's 700 Club on television. He figured that an infusion of CBN's money and management expertise could rescue the company. That was Scannapico that did that. We'll see if that's true or not. His pitch to Robertson, Pat Robertson, with a mixture of guilt and regret, Scannapico recalls how he coached Dennis Lee to make his sales pitch. I have a hard time saying this with a straight face. To make his sales pitch to Pat Robertson and the Christian Broadcasting Network. He coached me. Man never sold anything in his life, but he coached me. I told Dennis what words to say, the vocabulary that they used as Christians. Dennis memorized the vocabulary and read Pat Robertson's book. Well, I did read Pat Robertson's book, but only after at the time I was meeting him. But Pat Robertson heard these words and believed him. He's a very trusting man. Robertson, the businessman who started and set up and ran CBN and sold it for $400 million. He kind of gullible. He's a very trusting man. That guy sounds like a Christian to me. Let me give him $150,000. Anyway, according to Scannapico, during Lee's encounter with Mr. Robertson, Lee fell on the floor and began talking in tongues. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Fell down on the floor and talked in tongues. I did get spirit-filled by Pat Robertson at the CBN studios. I guarantee you I did not fall to the floor, but I definitely did, for the very first time in my life, talk in tongues. Yep. CBN officials, apparently believing that this was an authentic religious experience at the time, agreed to give Lee $150,000 through a CBN-owned investment company. There you go. Any of you guys know or can get hold of Pat Robertson, all you got to do is fall to the floor and start talking in tongues, and it's worth $150,000 to you. Does anybody really believe this? And they were trying to make Pat look bad, too, through a CBN-owned company. With this money, United Community Services would be shut down. Without this money, I think they meant, United Community Services would be shut down and UCS would be shut down and a new company, United Community Services of America, would be set up. Well, there you go. I was UCS going into my discussion with Pat Roberts, and I was UCS of A going out of it, so they're going to substantiate a few things. Would be set up, arrangements were begun for CBN's investment company to pay back creditors of UCS over a five-year period. Now, was this a bad thing? Pat was making a commitment to pay back all of the creditors and all of the investors in the company. How does this be a bad thing? I mean, everybody should go to Pat and fall on the floor and start praying in tongues. When Lee returned to New Jersey after meeting with Robertson in Virginia, yes, we can confirm I met with Robertson in Virginia. He told his employees that the deal had been struck with CBN had been accomplished through God's intervention. Oh, my God. The man said God intervened. Whew. Many of them accepted Lee's contention that CBN's involvement in the company was an answer to prayer. I guess it would have been. Lee began to lead daily prayer meetings in the company's boardroom in Upper Saddle River. Well, there you go. Now, there's the story that we all have to say, man, this guy must be a terrible, terrible, terrible guy. So let's get into the actual story of what actually did happen. The Pat Robertson CBN story, and like I said, this is a story I never wanted to tell. I have not publicly ever told this before. I hate to talk about Christian leaders. I don't know what Pat Robertson's motivation might have been, what his intentions were, or just how complicated everything became for this poor man. But he did indeed meet with me. And I've avoided talking about this for over 43 years. Anyway, I was almost a Christian when I had developed UCS, United Community Services. My very first invention that God actually gave me as a torn person trying to figure out who God was. Do I think now that God talked to me before I was a Christian? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. Anyway, trying to figure out who God was. I will talk in another episode about converting to Christianity. That's going to be another episode. Don't have time today. I will also, in another episode, explain the concept of UCS, all of it, Basically, it was a way to unite consumers in a world where everyone else, business, labor, government, regulators, were all united. The only thing not united is the consumers. The only one in the buying and selling chain that was not united was the consumers. Think of the Discovery card to get the idea, the basic idea of what I had come up with. Although this was before the Discovery card ever started. In fact, one of the people who started the card signed an NDA to hear my deal. Then later, the Discovery card was developed. A lot like it. I nicknamed it the coupon card. You get rebates on every purchase in cash or coupons for things that were paid or half paid, like vacation. So you'd get a discount on whatever you used the money to buy. So you got money from spending some money, then you got a discount on whatever you bought with the money you got, or you could just keep it in cash. And it was savings on savings on savings from spending. So it wasn't just a toaster because you're a part of that other old promotion program, the stamp collection. It was savings on savings from spendings. And it all started with a coupon card whenever you went to the store, a way to prove that you had definitely gone there and shopped because we had sent you there. Anyway, I'll get into a whole lot more about that in another episode. Anyway, we tried to get this concept up and running, and we had some success, as the newspaper article shows. But it was a huge idea, and I really did not have sufficient capital to really do it right. And that's true. That's true. I couldn't do it in a high enough volume to actually be able to get everything done and everything taken care of. So I went to a venture capitalist who loved the idea that I was referred to through a Morgan Stanley broker in Manhattan. The venture capitalist who loved this idea, was crazy about the idea, couldn't praise the idea enough, told me that if I could get the company up to a certain position where it had enough locations and stores and customers, and I proved that the concept worked, which I did, he would give me all the money I needed to take it national, and we would be equal partners. This is my first time I ever met or talked to a venture capitalist. This is part of the UCSA story, and the rest will be told in that episode, all about that. I actually did achieve the task, and I was given by him, but it had taken a lot of work and investors to get it to that point. He had said he was going to give me all the funds I needed, whatever that was, to take care of it and get it set up. But my job was to get it proven. I did. And I had made it to that point, so I went back to him to get the funding, all part of the UCSA story. He wanted to start another company. This was his big idea, and leave the investors that had been instrumental in making this happen, leave them behind. He wanted to maybe buy them out for 10 cents on the dollar he'd just negotiate, or just bypass them altogether and just start another business. This was very upsetting to me. Anybody that knows me knows that that would have been very upsetting to me. I felt betrayed, and I told him, never. I told him he could just keep his money, and I left. But I was in a lot of debt, and I really did need his money to make it, and I really had believed he was going to give it to me when I did. Anyway, I wound up coming to know my Lord Jesus. Yet another future episode, but I just wanted to know that was the timing. I tried to make this novel concept happen, and it was proven, and it was actually happening, but I was in so much debt, I was not going to get out of it by letting the investors down, one of which was James Scannapico. I could have easily said, okay, hey, screw the heck out of those guys, let's go. Anyway, who was James Scannapico, who was always negative and wanted to declare bankruptcy. We're in the position, we just, the right thing to do is to declare bankruptcy. I'm like, are you out of your mind? We can go get this, we can make it happen. We got a beautiful program. Whatever I wanted to do, he was always against. I had my conversion experience without any Christian in the room. That's going to be part of the episode of how I got converted. And I knew Scannapico was a Christian because, boy, one thing about him, everybody knew he was a Christian. So we asked him, Allison and I asked him, we both accepted Christ together, what the scriptures were to get saved, and we went over to his house for him to tell us how to get saved. And I told him, don't talk to me because you'll talk me out of it. Just tell me how to do it. Anyway, that's the best advice I ever got. So I don't have any bad feelings about knowing James Scannapico. As a baby Christian, I started watching Christian TV, and there was a pastor who was a businessman who believed in miracles and the power of God the same way that Allison and I did. We didn't have a church. We just finally got a Bible, and we just were reading it. Same way that we did, his name was Pat Robertson. He had a Christian broadcasting network. He believed in miracles, as did we. He was a televangelist. I refused to go back to the venture capitalist and was sort of holding my own but desperately needed funds. And God put it in my heart to contact this famous man and get him to take the place of the venture capitalist. But God asked me to give UCS, United Community Services, the company, to this man for the body of Christ. Give it. The more I thought about it, the more I knew it was the right thing to do. And we were close to being shut down as a business and having a sheriff's sale. So I said, okay. I fasted and prayed all weekend, and God told me his spirit would help me write a letter to this busy, world-famous person, and that the letter would touch him, and I would be in front of him and talk to him by that next Thursday. This is absolutely true, and that was his, what God prophesied to me. I was completely broke, and we were trying to figure out how we were going to keep the doors open. Allison and I lived in the company offices, which were behind in rent and barely surviving. We were actually just, you know, take a bath in the company sink, eat on the conference table. Anyway, and I was learning to trust in God. Anyway, I loved the business, but Pat Robertson could make it happen and God could be glorified. And the venture capitalist could learn a lesson, and I was all in. I'd rather give it to God than walk with that guy. God within my hands wrote a letter to Pat Robertson. So he used my hands, but he wrote that letter. I did not write that letter to Pat Robertson. I wrote it kind of in the spirit. I had to scrape up the money for Next Day Air, posted it on Monday. Meanwhile, Jim Scannapico watched CBN all the time and thought this was a great idea when I told him on a call. He was always talking to me. I told him, yeah, I think God told me we can do this with Pat Robertson. So there's a little something wrong with his thing of this was all his wonderful idea. Anyway, he wanted to go with us to meet his hero because he adored Pat Robertson. So we had no money, even for enough gas to go to Virginia Beach. We also didn't own a car, so we had no cash, don't own a car, and somehow we got to get to Virginia Beach to meet with Pat Robertson on Thursday. Jim said he could borrow his mom's car with a full tank of gas, and it got great mileage, so we did the math, and we could just make it to Virginia Beach. We figured that if the letter worked, and we could trust God for the way back to get back. We could sleep on the beach. Found out later that Jim had enough money to get a cheap hotel room for the first night. God put it deep within my heart that this was going to happen. And God delights in baby Christians drinking milk. there's just nothing better than that for him. He loves his babies. And he was loving on me, I can tell you. We waited until Tuesday and called CBN headquarters and got put through to Pat's secretary. Her name is Barbara. She told me that he had seen the letter and that he was going to write a reply to me. I knew what that meant. That was a form letter response. I told her there's no time for that. God has told me that Pat Robertson and I will be meeting in CBN headquarters on Thursday. So I said, you know, and matter of fact, that's what my letter actually said. My letter to Pat said, you will be meeting with me Thursday. It was like a command from the Spirit. Anyway, it's now Tuesday, I told her, and we have to be leaving no later than Wednesday to get there in time for our meeting. She said to me to just wait and not come now because this is 7 days ablaze telethon, which is the big time of the year when they raise all of their money at CBN, and this would be the worst possible time for me to come. We prayed, and God said to get there. So we headed out with just enough cash for tolls and a tank for gas, and I guess Jim had some cash to get a hotel room for that first night. I was slain in the spirit, and I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea. All I knew was me and God were going down there to have a miracle. I was just living in heaven for that entire trip. I was praying and singing and having a great old time by myself in the backseat of that car all the way from New Jersey to Virginia Beach. I was on a mission for God, kind of like the Blues Brothers. I enjoyed watching that show later and I thought of that. We got there at night with no money, no money for food. But Jim wanted to get a cheap room for night, and we had a Motel 6 or something that we could just get in. But I decided I wanted to be alone. I slept on the beach, actually. We had some cookies that Jim had brought, and I had gotten hold of a book about Pat Robertson. Now, when we got in, we saw a sign for R.W. Schanbach Revival Meeting. Allison and I really wanted to go meet R.W. Schanbach in the Big Tent Revival, but it was too late. Everything was closed down and they were sweeping up. All three of us smoked cigarettes, me, Jim, and Allison. Me, 3 packs a day. Allison burned 2 packs because she usually just let them burn, and Jim smoked like a chimney. I had tried to quit and could not do anything like that, so both Allison and our secretary threw a carton of cigarettes at me, and that was the last time that I tried. They said, you either start smoking again or we're both leaving. I was a mess. There's no way I could do that. This black guy named Leroy was cleaning up, and he told me, put out that cigarette. Don't you know God? I was thinking, here we are on a great mission for God to give this huge concept to CBN, just give it to the Christian church, and he's asking me if I know God. We're going to give something huge that's worth a fortune to the church. Anyway, I didn't tell him that. I told him that we certainly do. Anyway, he set us down on the bleachers and he gave us a talking to that came right from God himself. I stood up and took the last pack of cigarettes I have ever owned and threw it into the garbage that day. 43 years ago, Allison joined me, as did Jim. None of us have ever touched a cigarette since. None of us. We were oozing with God's juices. I mean, we were dripping in the Spirit. I heard Leroy talking in tongues, and I heard Pat Robertson do this before on TV. I had no idea how to do that. That night, I slept on the beach. Next Wednesday, I went to see Barbara, Pat's secretary. She was shocked to see me there, and she reminded me that she had told me not to come. Why was I there? I had the power of God all over me. I told her, you are my sister in the Lord. Ask God. God will tell you why I'm here. I'm going to meet with Pat Robertson Thursday. I can't meet him in New Jersey. I doubt that he would get there. So I have to go to him. And I'm not waiting for any letter. You got the letter there? Pull the letter out. Read the letter, said, yeah, that's a form letter. No, that's not for me. You don't get it, and he doesn't get it either. But actually, the Lord told me that Pat and I will meet on Thursday here. So please, please, as my sister, Barbara, you're my sister in Christ. Tell Pat Robertson, my brother in Christ, to just go to his prayer room, wherever that's at, and pray about it. And God will tell him that he is supposed to meet with me on Thursday. He'll tell him. She looked at me like I was crazy. Anyway, we spent some time in the CBN prayer room and had a ball there with some of the CBN guys and religious people. We had revival there. Anyway, it was beautiful. We even got a donut and coffee, so that was cool. Anyway, I got and left the number where I could be reached, and I told Barbara that, you know, we'll wait for the call. Barbara told me that, well, maybe if I can't get Pat Robertson to meet you, maybe I could get somebody else to meet you. Would that be okay? I'm like, I'll meet anybody he wants me to meet, the janitor, whoever. I'll take them through everything so that they can tell him, and then we can meet on Thursday. She said, okay, all right, I'll see what I can do. So anyway, Barbara finally did call me just before 4 o'clock, and she told me, man, you have turned this place upside down. But Pat is having his busiest day tomorrow, and he cannot see you. Would you be willing, he was telling me, to talk to number two in control, Fred Schwartz? He's the vice president of CBN. Would that be okay? He's number two in charge. I said, sure, I'll talk to anybody. I told you. But I need to talk to him soon because Pat and I are going to meet tomorrow. Right. I know. I understand. I told Barbara, look, the best I can do is he will see you tomorrow morning for breakfast. Now, I can tell you, breakfast sounded really good because that sounded like he was buying. I was all for that. And I'm sitting here down here at Virginia Beach, and I said, I'll be glad to meet Brother Fred. He's a Christian. He said, yes, of course. I said, I'll be glad to meet him. But she told me, well, you could meet him for breakfast at 8 a.m., at the Crow's Nest. And I'm looking across the way up from the beach, and I'm looking at the Crow's Nest. I said, is that the Crow's Nest at the beach? She said, yes. I said, yeah, I can get there. I'll be there at 8 o'clock. I was looking right at it from the phone booth. So I stayed awake all night reading Pat's book. That's when I read Pat's book and praising my Lord. I wanted to learn about this guy. And I wasn't disappointed. At 8 a.m. sharp, Fred Schwartz, very, very, very staunch executive, who's probably never missed an appointment in his entire life, and from Price Waterhouse, he came to CBN. So Fred and I start to meet. So he meets with me. They come over, the waitress, and we both order some food. My food kind of sat there for the whole program because I was talking to him and I didn't want to take time to be eating while he was eating. He ate some of his, most of his probably. And I started telling him the story of this incredible concept and this beautiful program that God had revealed to me. And I'm rolling along doing this, and all of a sudden I felt lightheaded and lightweight. And I saw myself looking back at me talking to him. It's one of the weirdest experiences I've ever had, although I've had a lot of weird experiences. I'm looking at me talking to him, and I'm sitting there going, man, he is really articulate. I mean, it was like systematic the way God laid that program out for Pat Rock, Fred Schwartz. Fred Schwartz is his number two guy. Fred was mesmerized. I was rolling with him, and I'm sitting over there watching me and him talk. It was amazing to me, absolutely amazing. Well, then nobody comes and asks us if we want more coffee. Nobody comes to see if we want anything else. Nobody comes to give anybody a bill. And for hours, we sat there rolling, bomb, 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 bomb. And he was supposed to be spending 1 hour with me. And it became a whole lot more than an hour. And his secretary, who I got to know really well, and him, and he's Johnny on the spot, he had appointments that he had to make, did not pick up a phone, did not call him, did not ask him if he was coming back or anything else, didn't bother him till God got done talking to Fred Schwartz. As soon as that ended, his phone rang. Fred said, I got a lot of stuff I got to do back at the office, but wow, brother, that's the most amazing thing I think I may have ever heard in my whole life. That was his response. Pat's got to hear this. Boy, was I glad to hear that one. Can you somehow summarize all of this into like a, I know it's going to be hard, but can you do it? Can you get it into like a 15-minute presentation? If I can get you a short meeting with Pat Robertson at the studio today, could you put it into 15 minutes? I said, sure, I'm sure I can. I mean, I just watched God do something amazing, and God can do pretty much anything. So, yeah, I said, yeah, okay. And he said, so I can get you a meeting at the studio today. And I said, well, I got to confess something to you, Fred. We don't have any gas. I'm out of gas. I don't have any money for gas. Could I borrow a couple of bucks from you to get gas to get over there to the studio? So he said, what? You came all the way down there with no gas? I said, how are you going to get home? I said, I don't know. We were just going to hitchhike. I don't know. I'll never get home. It didn't matter. We've got to meet with Pat on Thursday. So this is today. He said, well, you are. But he said, not for a long period of time. And he gave me a $100 bill. He paid for the breakfast, and then he set us up. He went right straight over, called his office, said, I don't care, I got to cancel the appointments, I got to get this done. Went over and put us into a hotel room, a beautiful hotel room. Jim had his own hotel room, and Allison and I had our hotel room. So I figured, well, God can do anything, so if 15 minutes is all I got, then, okay, we're meeting on Thursday. God said we had to meet on Thursday. I'm just following and honoring God. We did meet at the CBN studios. No one had coached me on what to say. Nobody needs to coach me on what to say. I think you guys kind of know that. So we met at 2 p.m., and 15 minutes became us being rushed off to a room, and the room had a blackboard in it. And me spending 2 hours with Pat Robertson in the busiest day, 7 days ablaze. I mean, and it was incredible. He was like, wow, this is an incredible concept. It was. It could make billions and billions of dollars. God doesn't give me little stuff. I think some of you guys know that. Anyway, it turned out that Fred said, Pat asked me if I was spirit filled. And I said, I'm so full of God right now, I'm sure I am. Then Fred said, I think we need to ask for the infilling. And right there at CBN Studios, Fred and Pat Robertson laid hands on me and started praying for me to be filled with the Spirit, praying in tongues. I did not fall to the ground and roll around laughing like an idiot. But I did start praying in tongues, and it was beautiful, and I've been praying in tongues ever since. It was a beautiful experience, and Pat told me that he had thought about it, and I had told him in the meeting that I wanted to just give this to CBN. I said, it's in debt. You're going to have to pay the debt off. You can check that out and see all of that is, But it's yours. You can own the whole thing. I want to give this to the body of Christ. I want to give this to them through you. So he said he'd been thinking about it, and he didn't want me to give the company. He wanted to be my equal partner. He wanted me to own 50% of the company. He'll own 50% of the company and run it. I had told them that they could have the whole thing if they just would give the investors their money back with interest at a good interest rate, or let them stay in and continue instead of me. So Pat told Fred to draw up a contract for our partnership. He asked me how much I thought it would take to get it going in a right manner, and I told him I thought about $3 million could do it, and I told him how much it was in debt. Anyway, that was it. I sat in the car the next day for the ride home. I didn't need the car to go home. I was sitting in it, but I could have gone home on my own, I think. Fred, I was so dripping in spirit. Fred came to New Jersey the next week and put the money that it took. I told him that he put it $40,000 into our bank account to pay the bills that we needed to keep the doors open and avert the sheriff's sale. There was a sign on the door for sheriff's sale when he got there. And they had decided to have an accountant for CBN go over all our books and records for an entire week the following week. It was soon after we got back. I think it was the next week. The accountant's name was Jan, and he told us about a spirit-filled church in our area, because if he's going to be there for a week, he's going to go to church. We were still living in the office and taking as little pay as we could. So we spent nothing. After doing the books, Jan handed me $100 and told me to take Allison to a fine restaurant on him and spoil her. He was such a sweet guy. We had lived in the office all year long on $2,300. He was like, how is that even possible? We also met often with their CBN lawyer, who came around a lot, the lawyer from CBN. He came, saw us quite a bit. It was happening. We were called back to Virginia Beach to sign an agreement, a contract that would be the contract with the option for them to buy the company, but it was a contract that had the whole contract of what we would do. We reviewed it in Fred's office. Me and Allison, we were both there. Pat Robertson had changed the name of our company from United Community Services later on. He changed it to United Community Services of America. Pat Robertson named the company United Community Services of America, UCS of A. He named it. This UCSA company will have a lot to do with the entire story of his story. Believe me, it pretty much covers the vast majority of everything I'm going to have to tell you over the next 2 years or however long it's going to take to get this done. I had all sorts of things about not letting the investors in the company have all of their money back and some things that were a lot like what the venture capitalists had done in this contract between me and a Christian lawyer. It was like 100 pages. I got upset. I was like, this really bothers me. I'm really bothered. I'm confused and I don't understand this, Fred. I said, just give the partners whatever you think I should have. Just give it to them. And it was very upsetting to see, and you keep controlling interest for yourself, it's fine. It was very upsetting to see so little difference between these Christian people and the world. The contract was this big, huge thing with all kinds of things that bothered Allison and me. Things like if he wanted out or anything, I had to buy him out. And I'm like, why would I do that? You're giving this back to me. Finally, if I told Fred, I just told Fred that was disappointing, and I had come to give the Lord's this whole technology to the church, so whatever they did was fine with me, but I didn't want to be any part of it. He told me, well, they can change things, and I told him to do whatever they want. I was going to leave, I said, you can do what you want to do, but I'm leaving. I'm going to go over to your prayer room because we had a great time in there, and I know I met God in that room, and I just want to go speak to my God. So during lunchtime, it's lunchtime anyway, Fred, you go to lunch. And when I come back, it's going to be at least 2 hours from now. Don't expect me back before 2. When I come back, I will sign the agreement, whatever it says. But if I don't come back, it means go ahead and do whatever you want to do with it. You can have everything. I'm out of here. I don't want to be a part of it. So I'll either come back in 2 hours at 2 o'clock or I won't. If I don't, I've enjoyed very much everything, all your graciousness with me, and I appreciate you and your program, and you guys do whatever you want to do with this thing. So we just shook hands, and I left. I actually wound up going to the prayer room, and in that prayer room, Allison and I love that prayer room. Allison and I started praying to God, and I was going to pray to God that God would show me how I could get through to Pat and to Fred the things that were bothering me and why they seemed so unchristian and they were not godlike, and that I didn't anticipate this to be a normal run-of-the-mill thing that I would get with that venture capitalist. So I was kind of like asking God to show me how to come back in there and read those people the Riot Act and find out what that was all about. And actually, it was interesting because what God did was he loved on me for a while, and then this thing came from heaven. It was a blue light. It was like a laser beam. And I could see it from somewhere other than here, and it, like it was coming from space, and it just came right down into my forehead. And on this, God talked to me. His words were just coming on this laser beam to me, into my head. And it was pretty interesting what he said to me. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read the letters that I have, so that you can kind of get an idea and everybody can get an idea of the things that actually I can prove did go on. Allison also has said that she wants to add something here to this today, and so we put something in with her. I may have put it in at the beginning or I might put it at the end, but I told her I would add that to this. So wherever, maybe you've already heard it, maybe you're going to hear it later on, but she's got to put her 2 cents into this as well. And she just wanted to say some words. Now, here's what I have in my possession. I have a letter dated November 5th, 1977. It was written by Fred Schwartz. And Fred Schwartz was, he says, references made to your letter dated October 24th, 1977. I appreciate the update. So this was on November 5th. Appreciate the update. And want you to keep us constantly informed about the flow of funds. For your information, we have hired a new man at CBN who, for the first several weeks, will be doing nothing but UCS matters. Now, this is long before we actually did the deal. They're doing vetting, doing UCSA matters, including a trip to your offices probably for an entire week. At that time, I want him to meet with your accountant, go over the unaudited financial statements as of August 31st, 1977. Also, I did that for the venture capitalist. Also, I will want him to have a complete understanding of the accounting system, and I will be looking to him to make recommendations for improvement as applicable. It will be sometime after November 14th, since that's the day he starts with us. So he's going to send somebody down. They're going to do literally a complete exhaustive study of everything, all of our checks, all of our books, all of our records, every dime we've ever processed through any bank account. They're going through all of this stuff. Now, this is not a guy who says, God, man, that was a hell of a performance, and you prayed in tongues, and you fell to the floor. That's it. Here, give him $150,000. No. No. It did. 40,000 did happen because Fred came down to meet with me, and he gave me the 40,000 to avert the sheriff's sale that kept our doors open and kept us alive. Yes, that was a down payment, but I didn't get any money till January from that time. They were going through everything with a fine-tooth comb, and their lawyer came back and forth all the time. Here's a letter from the lawyer on January the 3rd. It's written notice that UCS of America closing must be held on or before January the 25th, 1978. So it has to be done before January the 25th. Okay, well, shoot, I wanted it to get done immediately. Here's a letter from Fred Schwartz again. This letter is formal written notice to you, United Community Services of America, a Virginia corporation incorporated by Pat Robertson as the president, is herewith electing to exercise its option of purchase dated 14th October 1977. So he and I had put the contract together, he put the contract together, and we went down to sign it, the contract that said that there would be a relationship. On the 14th of October, 1977. So they've been checking it all out between that and now. You may expect a contract of purchase to be mailed to you within 10 days of January 4th. Look like they didn't do any due diligence there to anybody. We got $40,000 within 2 weeks of the CBN meeting that kept the company alive. And then we got reviewed for 5 months of vetting. And then we finally got paid the $105,000 minus $2,500 for an attorney and $2,500 for our rent so we could keep our offices open, paying our back rent, etc. I was paid $127.78 January. We met in September. And on January of the next year, in September of 1977, January next year, is when I got the $105,000 within 5 months of betting. So, I mean, the thing about falling to the ground and giving me $150,000 and he's a very trusting man, let's throw all that out the window. I also got a little bit upset about how long the vetting process was taking. I wasn't happy with that. I'm like, hey, you went through all the books and records and everything within 2 weeks. What's all this? But they were bringing people in and checking everything out and making a list and checking it twice. I was upset that I had to raise all the money also, because here was the thing that Pat's going to put in $3 million. How much are you going to need? $3 million. Now, I guess he really didn't say to me, I'm going to give you $3 million, but he said, okay. That's how much I thought it was going to take to make it all happen, $3 million. Okay. So I was upset that they're giving me $150,000, $40,000, and then $105,000, and then these fees and the rent, for money to rent. And why in the world... where was the money to run the company and make the whole company happen? And it was in an agreement that I was supposed to take care of that I had to raise all the money. And I had told them that we needed $3 million, but I was willing to do that, to go raise the money. So Pat just said, well, you raised the money. You can go raise the money with your investors and your distribution program that I had before. He was telling me to use that to raise the $3 million. So I guess that must have been, in his opinion, at least something that was pretty cool. So I had to go raise the $3 million. The $150,000 was all I was ever going to, the company was ever going to get from Pat. Okay. I was willing to accept it. But I wrote a letter just saying, hey, look, you know, this is taking all this time. How am I going to raise this? I got to keep the doors open. I got to keep the company coming. I got to pay something to these investors. I don't have any money to do that with. And now you're going to give me $100,000, which is not going to come anywhere near doing it. I got to get busy. I got to be moving. I got to go make this thing happen. Because I got to raise the money, the $3 million. I got to fine, I'll do it. Because, I mean, hey, if I got your reputation, I got Pat Roberts at the CBN as a partner, I can at least easily go raise this capital. So I wasn't concerned about whether or not I could raise the money. But I was concerned about when the hell was I going to get this done, because I was holding all of this off all of this time. So anyway, I got a letter from Pat Robertson, and it said, I received your letter of January 9th. I believe that there are some basic misunderstandings which need to be clarified. When you increased your number of shareholders past 10, without registering the securities with the New Jersey Securities Commission, you violated New Jersey Securities Act unknowingly, and in all the proceedings, you did not comply with those regulations. We've hired a very fine and expensive law firm to work through some of the many problems, including the creditor problems, which you have encountered over the past year. So there were a number of difficulties that have come to light, but I believe these are in process of being resolved. The lawyers have requested a waiver of certain registration requirements from New Jersey and got it. Until this is done, and any action which would be taken by us would be improvident and subject to court overthrow in the future by some disillusioned stockholder. I know to a layman these things are not understandable, but to intelligent investors they're absolutely essential. You do not build a house, Dennis, without putting a foundation first. If the foundation is not proper, regardless how fast the house is built, it will fall down. I would like to see this relationship work and not be an exercise in rat hole financing. The delay has nothing to do with our ability or our organization. The delay has to do with the laws of your state. And when these are satisfied, and I understand that this is the process of being resolved, I think we can go forward together to both of our mutual satisfaction. Anything else would be very foolish. And as wise stewards, we do not want to do things in that fashion. With all good wishes, I am yours in Christ, Pat Robertson. His lawyer, Carter Moore, got a copy of that. Carter Moore, by the way, had been told everything about my background of having to overdo probation because of bad checks that were written in the oil crisis. He looked at that and said, hey, that's nothing. That's no big deal. That's not a big thing. Because I took him aside and said, hey, I want to tell you all about this because this I want to be up front with you about me. He said, bad checks, people write bad checks. That's not a big deal. So they'd already heard about all of that stuff. That was not anything. So everything was good. We got everything done, and we did a closing. And they took the contract that they had written, rewritten, back whenever we were initially writing out the contract of how the relationship works, et cetera, because they had to get all of my belief and understanding of all that, my agreement to all of that. Pat signed it. I signed it. That was the prevailing contract. So, you know, here we are. Now, I talked to Pat Robertson once after the meeting at the studio when we signed our contract. Later on, Pat decided for whatever reason he never told me or related anything about it to me ever. I've never heard a word from Pat Robertson, negative or positive, about anything with our relationship past that letter that he wrote to me before he signed the contract, before our deal began. And they incorporated United Community Services of America as a Virginia company with him as the president. Anyway, later on, Pat decided for whatever reason, never told me, he wanted out. I just got a major law firm in Manhattan, or he just got a major law firm in Manhattan to handle it. He demanded that I give him back all of the $150,000 he put in as agreed. Really? How? I was broke. He knew I was broke. Didn't have a dime. But anyway, what is this? He wanted out for no reason that I could understand. I had done everything they wanted me to do. I'd been upfront with them and honest with them, had given them all the books and records, had given them all the information about everything that we did. They had stored through that, booked through that with accountants, their own accounting people, and loved all of it and said, it's beautiful and it's everything you said. And they knew we had 4,000 companies online, and we were ready to go if they were ready to go, and they were resolving some little issues and stuff that had happened that he talked about in his thing, and they got them resolved, and they signed the agreement. Now here we are, it was 2 months later, with Pat saying, or Pat never told me anything. Fred came to me and he said, hey, you know, we may have a problem. He says, somebody is saying, one of the attorneys is saying that they think that maybe this could be a multi-level marketing program. Here's how we were raising money before and how we're going to raise money then. I mean, hey, if you got a problem with that, just choke up the $3 million and let's get going. I know you can. Just throw in the $3 million. We won't go raise any money. We don't have to have anything with any multi-level marketing companies or possible multi-level marketing companies. Throw the $3 million in. Let's go make it happen. We don't need any investors. But you want me to get the $3 million? I got to have a program to sell to the people. He says, I know, but that's somebody said they think that might be a multi-level marketing program. And our attorneys look through it, and he doesn't agree with them. Moore. He doesn't believe in it. He doesn't think so. But, you know, even the appearance that it would be a multi-level marketing program, I'm like, look, somebody gives us money for us to go out and get some workers. We get the workers for them, and then they basically go out and shop, and whatever shopping that they do, the person that funded them, instead of having them pay money to be a shopper, we get somebody to do it for them, and they get it for free. And so the shopper is getting in the program at no cost, and somebody's just paying all the cost to put them in. Why is that a multi-level marketing program? Never got an answer to that. Never got any reasonable answer to that. He said, I know. Well, you're going to have to go meet some attorneys in Manhattan. Fred didn't show up at that meeting in Manhattan. Pat didn't show up. Their lawyer, CBN lawyer, didn't show up at that meeting in Manhattan. But I met with a law firm in Manhattan. And they were demanding that I give him his money back. I was broke. What is this? He wanted out for no reason. No one ever gave me a reason why he wanted out. He never gave me a reason why he wanted it out. I said, well, can I talk to Pat? Could Pat just take a phone call with me and maybe go over this and tell me what's bothering him? What is it that he wants? Never had a conversation with him. No conversation with his Christian brother. I tried to contact him and even have a conversation with him. Zip. He just wanted out for some unknown reason, and he's saying, you got to buy me out, you got to take me out, or do all this other stuff. So Fred told me that Pat's lawyers told him they were doing some money raise, and it was misunderstood about the multi-level. That's all I ever knew. Anyway, I had to go to Manhattan to a huge law firm on Park Avenue. I mean, I'm talking huge. Full, like three third story of the building, and they owned three or four of them. And there's like plush carpeting 3 inches thick. They had a conference table that seats like 30 or 40 people. And I knew it was not to discuss anything. If nobody from CBM was there, it was not good news. So, okay, they set me in a room alone. I was singing and praising my God, praying in tongues, not being loud or disorderly, and they came and shut the door. An hour later, the room was inundated with lawyers. Not one, not two. I mean, lawyers on both sides of the table. There was nobody from CBN there, however. They demanded that I let Pat Robertson withdraw and that I give him his money back in cash. I listened, and then I replied that I had to discuss this with counsel. I mean, what? You're here, you're 40 lawyers, and I'm alone. Can I get counsel? I need to get counsel. I understood their position, but I asked, was it possible to meet with Pat And the answer was no. Can you get him on the phone? No. Okay, give me some time to get counsel. They gave me 2 weeks with all sorts of threats. I wished them well and I left. But nobody ever told me what I had done, what was wrong. Pat just wanted out. Okay, so anyway, I left. We went to the spirit-filled church that Jan, her accountant, had told us about that we had actually started attending to ask if any of them felt led to attend an all-weekend fast and prayer session. I asked our workers that worked in our company, most of whom were Christians, I think all of whom were Christians, and believed in what we were doing, if any of them wished to be invited to an all-weekend fast and prayer session of what we were supposed to do. This weekend will be the subject of yet another episode in our prophetic trip to Texas and Israel. I'm going to get into that with you at some later date, and I'll let you know everything that happened on that weekend. It was amazing, miraculous. But in short, we did meet for a weekend fast with 12 spirit-filled Christians. Every day for 3 days, it was beautiful. We had a prophetess who also was one of the people who came. And at the end of the entire weekend of prayer and praise and prophecy galore about what God had in store for us, it was amazing what happened that weekend. I am so thankful that I had to do that in order to find out what to do with Pat. But we met for me to discover what to do with Pat. We didn't even talk about it the whole entire 3 days. There was prayer and prophecy and foot washing. And, I mean, it was an amazing weekend, and God was all over it. There was a conclusion on the Pat Robinson issue at the last night of it. It was so amazing that we had actually forgotten what we had been fasting for. We were learning so much that God had in store for us. So God gave me my answer to what he had in store for my life. And as for Pat Robertson, that thing, it turned out Fred had changed the contract. Remember, back when Fred and I talked, he changed the contract. I didn't read it. I just came back in and signed it. That was it. I came back from that meeting. I signed that contract, put my name on it, and he said, no, I got you a lot of the things you were looking for. I said, I don't care. I told you I'd either be back here and sign the contract or I'd be gone. God said to me, whenever that little blue thing came in my face, he said, he admonished me. He said, I told you to go give that technology to CBN. So you get yourself back in there and you sign that contract. And it was that clear to me. It was more clear than I think God has ever talked to me. I don't remember ever being admonished by God. But he was like, you will get back in there and sign that contract. So we came from that back into the meeting with Fred and signed the contract back at the very beginning of this. We signed it. And he said, I want to tell you, I don't care what it is, I don't care what it says. God said, sign it here. Where do I sign it? Sign here. I initial all the pages. I'll initial all the pages. Okay, got it. He had changed that contract that I had refused to sign into the one that I did actually sign, and it had a clause in it that was very clear. If any one of two partners wished at any time to withdraw, they could do so by submitting a letter of withdrawal, releasing the other party of any liability. And it had been that if what they had before was that if Pat wished to withdraw, I would buy him out. But the thing got changed because of my little thing that I did there. To if anybody wanted out, then they could get out and be released of any liability. God pointed that out to me after the prophetess announced that as for the problem we assembled to get. So she announced that as the answer. She said, okay, now on the issue initially, she said, God has revealed that to me also during this 3 days. And she was in the spirit, and she was like, and God said, do nothing. Do nothing. Do nothing. That was it. That was the word from God. Do nothing. Now I got to go back to New York and Manhattan, meet with these attorneys in this big firm, and just walk in there and do nothing. Okay. I reread that contract, and God showed me that. He's like, hey, just let them withdraw. The Spirit said, let them withdraw. I reread that contract, and I knew what God meant. That next day, I went to Manhattan and set up for another praise-filled hour, and the lawyers filed in. I had a single piece of paper for them. That was it, one piece of paper. I'm sitting there by myself with all these people. No lawyer, no nothing. They asked if I had retained counsel, and I told them, oh, yes, I retained somebody very, very wise. It's a Jewish lawyer. He has informed me of my rights and that I am to do nothing. You could have seen jaws drop to the floor. Then. It's not up to me. If Mr. Robertson wishes to withdraw, I point your attention to paragraph so-and-so, section so-and-so. If he wishes to withdraw, I accept. But I want him to send me all the corporate books and papers held in Virginia Beach forthwith. They all looked shocked and then left the room. They gave me another two glorious hours with my Lord. They only returned then and gave me the letter of withdrawal for Pat Robertson, and it was over. I owned UCSA as the sole owner. I was never accused of anything by anybody, anytime. They may, I don't know what they thought or what they were doing that for, but I was never accused of it. I just owned the company. So that's what happened. It was over. I guess that was a bad experience for Pat. It must have been a bad experience for Pat, and I'm sorry for that. I didn't mean to ever bring a bad thing to Pat. I expected to bring a good thing to Pat, and he and his man loved it. But he refused before and after that to ever meet with me to resolve our differences and at least discuss them as Christian brothers, which is scriptural, which he has refused to do to this day. Actually, I tried to go to him, and he would not see me. When I went to get the books and records in Virginia Beach, he wouldn't even come and talk to his Christian brother that I had been talking to about UCSA. So he wouldn't even talk to his Christian brother. Now, dial forward. That's it. I'm done. And by the way, I couldn't run the company, make the company happen without the capital, without the cash, and certainly without his reputation. I couldn't raise anything else. It was done. It was over. Sorry. Did everything in my power to make it happen. But I actually took UCS of A, and UCS of A, I started running that company, and I wound up getting involved in a heat pump business. Now, you're going to learn all about that. Other episodes, and in the heat pump business, that was United Community Services of America. And I was out trying to get some things done with this heat pump. You'll learn about that in some other episode. And I met a Christian brother who was a pastor. I was talking to them about UCSA in the heat pump business, and he told me that he thought I needed to heal the divide with Pat Robertson because who was the originator of that company, UCS of A? Pat Robertson, Virginia Beach in Virginia. So he found out about Pat Robertson incorporating the company that he's talking to about a heat pump thing. And he said that he thought I needed to heal the divide with Pat Robertson. I had to tell him personally the story. I didn't tell him everything I've told you, but I told him some. And I told him I had no idea why Pat pulled out. No idea at all. I had tried to get with him, and Pat refused to meet with me. He said, well, that's not scriptural. I said, I know that. He said he could get me a meeting with Pat Robertson because who do you go to after you go to the person himself? So you go to the pastor. He's a pastor. He said, I can get a meeting with Pat Robertson to finally resolve any differences. And so I tried to get hold of Jim Scannapico because, you know, that was about 5 years after everything had happened, 4 or 5 years. And I thought maybe we could, if I could meet with Pat Robertson, let's have Scannapico meet too. Let's just resolve all the issues between three Christian brothers. But he had died. I got a letter back from Pat Robertson to cut it out. That was 5 years later. My only response to that was Pat Robertson wrote me a letter to cut it out. He didn't write me a letter. He had his attorney write me a letter saying for us to cut it out. It wasn't a good experience. He highly recommended that we would shut up about anything happened with any of that. And so that was it. That was the only response. Next step is the church in general, and I did not want to hurt his reputation in any way. I mean, he was actually running for president. There was a lot of things in that contract that were promised by him that I have never held him to make him do. I never had him have to do anything. He left me alone, I left him alone. He actually ended up around that time running for president. Whatever it was that made him bolt, he has never shared with me. So, I don't know. When I read the newspaper article that happened a year after he had pulled away, when I read that newspaper article, I knew I had an idea of what had happened. That's the only clue I ever had of what had happened. Was that newspaper article I read to you when I started this. That was a year later. So I had an idea what had happened, and I knew that it would involve Jim Scannapico, so I wanted to have all of us meet together to get it all resolved, settle all of our scores as brothers. Anyway, I have already read you the newspaper article. The meeting with Pat Robertson was something like the news story says, but it was not anything, really, like what the news story says. It was about a celebrity. It was sensational. They could quote Jim, who pretty much killed the entire deal. Here's what happened. Jim Scannapico went back to meet with Pat Robertson after we were putting our deal together, and it was taking so long to get the deal together. I was getting lots of heat from everybody, like, man, you're doing this thing with, and we can't see anything, and we're not even starting the business, and there's got to be some reason why we can't move with this and get going with this. And yeah, there was. And I guess it was legitimate things that Pat and his people were trying to square away and get done, because, you know, there was a lot going on, and we did have a lot of debt and things like that, and we were squaring it. And they weren't giving me any money until they signed the contract, so I couldn't pay anything, so I was trying to hold the thing together during that whole time. That's when Jim Scannapico went back to see Pat Robertson. He drove back to Virginia Beach and met privately with Pat Robertson. By the way, when we met them there, he saw Pat Robertson with me. He never met with him. He never met with Fred. He never saw anything I presented, never saw them pray for me in tongues or anything else. He actually drove back to Virginia Beach and met privately with Pat Robertson to tell him, I guess, the things that are in that article. It cleared a lot up for me. Jim was always opposing me and challenging my decisions, and he thought I was lying to him and to them about what had happened in that area. Yes, he knew that CBN had come. He knew that they had gone through all of the books and records. He met Fred Schwartz. He met the Jan, the auditor. He met with the attorney. So he knew there was something going on, but I guess he thought, you know, he was protecting his investment. Evidently, it turned out to be the opposite of protecting his investment. Because he's over there telling Pat Robertson that he had evidently, read the article, that he had tutored me on how to take Pat Robertson to the cleaners. And he had tutored me and schooled me on what to say and how to pray and how to fall on the floor and all the other stuff. It was sad. This is a sad situation about a sad little guy. That, yes, indeed, did put some money into a thing, and yes, indeed, I was doing everything in my power to get him back and have taken care of. Had he not done that, we probably would have been partners with CBN. That probably wouldn't have been good. I don't know how that all would have turned out, but I think that maybe it wasn't meant to be. But here's something wonderful. We had a meeting. Pat Robertson caused a big law firm to cause me to say, okay, I got to have time to do this. I got to go get counsel. And I went to get counsel with 12 Christians on a 3-day fast weekend. And we stayed together for 3 solid continuous days without eating anything, going in prayer and counsel. And God laid out for me what he wanted me to do in my life. Now, you're going to get that story later when you get UCSA. You're going to get that story. And that story is miraculous. We saw more miracles on that weekend than you can imagine. And they all, every single thing that prophetess said came true. All of it. Everything. All of it. So that was the beginning of my ministry with God, telling me what I was going to do with energy and all kinds of other technologies and other things. All that came to that weekend when I was meeting together to find out what to do with Pat Robertson. Well, I did find out what to do with Pat Robertson. Tell him, yeah, you can withdraw if you want to. Give me my books and records and get out of here. Which is exactly what did happen. Not because I wanted it to, because I wanted to resolve it and work with him and work it out and find out what was bothering him and get past all of it. But evidently that couldn't be done. Evidently. But anyway, that's what happened with this. Now, I guess we can put Allison's thing in here and then we'll be done with this. But Allison has something that she wanted to add to this, and I don't know, she'll do whatever she wants to do. So we'll just chop it in here right now at this point in time. Now, that's it, and that's the big deal about this celebrity and how I screwed this celebrity and took advantage of him. But nothing points to that. It points to me being what I said it was. I needed help, and I was working and trying to get things worked out. So, but there's the end of that sensationalism. There's no other major, actually there are a lot of other celebrities that are involved in future stories, but none in newspaper articles. So this is all these guys could do to try to embarrass me now. I'm not embarrassed about it. Don't feel bad about it. I feel bad about the thing with Pat and that we never were able to even discuss it. I would love before he dies, I tried again. A while back in 1991, after my things in California that I told you about in the first episode, right after that, I wrote a letter to Barbara to try to get to get relationship with Pat to at least hear, maybe after 15 years, he can kind of discuss it. And I got the same thing. I got a letter back from them. Let me see if I can find that letter. I'll read it to you real quick. I got a letter back from them that just said basically that it was not from him. I never got anything back from him. I think it was from Barbara. Yeah, it was from Barbara. And it said, I sent a letter to Pat when he returned from California after my court case there to try to one last time to resolve our differences, telling him it was not a good experience for me. I wrote him from Wall Street, Dennis Lee, and dear Mr. Lee, I had another business. I'm trying to now rebuild my company. And he says, dear Mr. Lee, she says, Barbara, your letter of March 13th to Mr. Robertson has come to my attention. I will be sure he sees it when he returns from a few days of vacation. I found your letter rather interesting. CNN had a similar devastating experience about 15 years ago involving someone whose name I will not reveal. I was telling them about my relationship with CBN in that time, and that I'm confused and would like to resolve it and understand what happened. Can we do it 15 years later? She says, we had a similar devastating experience about 15 years ago involving someone whose name I will not reveal. I guess that was her way of saying that they would not mention this, and that's probably what they thought I was after. We also had a company with, he also had a company with the name of United Community Services, which later changed to United Community Services of America. after that, I finally just said, okay, I guess they're never going to talk to me, and we're never going to discuss it, and never going to reveal it, and conclude it. So I just went on with my life. Anyway, now we'll add in what Allison might have to say, and then we'll get involved in some other episode next week. Continue doing episodes as long as people are trying to discredit me and shame me and make me feel like I'm some kind of bad guy. And we'll just keep going until that stops for sure, but we may go after that because you guys may start thinking that you want to hear more.
Hi, this is Allison David, and those who know me know I don't often speak out. I'm usually in the background and happy to be there. But not long ago, there was an email that was circulating about Dennis Lee, and it showed that it came from me. The email that it came from was AllisonDavidIsAllisonLee@gmail.com. And the name on this Gmail account was Allison Lee. So I want to set the record straight. That email did not come from me, and I did not create that Gmail account, so apparently someone's using my previous name without my permission. I did change my name over 40 years ago before any of my children were born, but that's not important here. What's important is that someone was trying to catch people's attention by using my name. And I would like to address the content of that email since it was supposedly sent by me. So let me just begin by saying I've been married to Josiah David for 43 years and have walked through his life experiences with him as his partner. And the article attached to the email sent in my name is perhaps the most or one of the most horrific pieces of journalism I've ever read, if you can call it that. Whatever partial truth was in it was skewed beyond recognition. And since I was with my husband when all of this happened, I would like to share some truth about that and set some things straight. So first, let me say my husband and I accepted the Lord together over 40 years ago. And we love the Lord with all our heart and have chosen to serve Him no matter the consequences. We've had a lot of opposition in our time together, but we believe it's all been part of His training. People try to portray us as scamsters, but usually it's done for an agenda and one that one can only guess at. But it's never deterred us or stopped us from doing what we believe is the right thing and trusting in the Lord. So about the article, I'll begin by saying our journey to see Pat Robertson, as far as I'm concerned, was nothing short of a miracle. We definitely were in a difficult place with the business, and we had no money, but we were trusting that the Lord had a way through it. And we knew that the business concept of UCS was incredible and something that since has been proven out by hugely successful companies like, for instance, Discover Card. As Christians, we wanted to serve the Lord, and we were praying for a Christian to get involved who could help put the company over the top. And so when we heard about Pat Robertson, we were moved by the way he prayed in power. And Josiah was moved by the Spirit and sat down to write Pat Robertson a letter. The letter was short and stated prophetically that they would meet on Thursday. And that was certainly a leap of faith, not something that your mind could conjure, as we didn't have the money to even get down to Virginia Beach to see him. So Jim Scannapico did hang around the company a lot, but he didn't have any role of leadership in the company, as the article reported, and he was never an employee, and most certainly nothing like an equal partner. Neither did he coach JD in the vocabulary of Christians, which would have come across very obvious to anyone who is a mature Christian. But Jim Scannapico, in my experience, was one of the most negative people that I knew, and he was very fearful about things. He shared often that he just constantly struggled with being able to overcome his nature, and he was a dark, just kind of a dark person. But anyway, when J.D. shared with him that he believed that God had said that he would talk to Pat Robertson that week, Jim Scannapico got very excited. And he wanted himself to go meet Pat Robertson. That would have been a dream for him. So knowing we in the company had no money, he offered to borrow his mother's car and pay for the gas to drive down there, as well as one night's cheap motel room. But that was all he could manage, he said. And so we took him up on the offer, and we were off. And for me, that was the first part of answered prayer that evolved as the experience continued. So when we arrived in Virginia Beach, we all went down to CBN's offices to declare that we were there, and J.D. talked to his secretary. And she insisted that it was impossible to see Mr. Robertson at that time because he was in the middle of his yearly telethon called 7 Days Ablaze. And it was a time where he took a week on television and filmed it, raising money for the ministry and for the CBN Network and the 700 Club. And he just wouldn't see anyone, and he never had before during that time. But J.D. was pretty insistent in perceiving that there was maybe something more there. And having received a letter saying that he and Pat would meet on Thursday, she said that she would try to set the appointment up with his second, Mr. Fred Schwartz, who was vice president of CBN and had been a Pricewaterhouse accountant. And since it was a business thing, that probably he'd be better suited anyway. So she said she would call back and let us know if she was able to achieve that. So we went back to the motel and waited for that call for most of the day. And amazingly enough, it finally came in around 3:30 in the afternoon. So Mr. Schwartz, the secretary reported, would meet with J.D. early the next morning. And thank goodness we were able to get that motel room and stay over for the night. So Fred and J.D. Met at a restaurant. And my husband shared later that Fred told him he could only spare a short time and had an appointment in about an hour. So they met over breakfast. And long story short, Fred canceled his meeting and continued to listen intently for hours to J.D.'s presentation. So to me, that was the second miracle for an executive of a large multi-million-dollar enterprise to spend the better part of a day with an unannounced stranger. So he was extremely impressed, and he must have been, to spend that time. And so much so that he said, "Mr. Robertson has to hear this." That was pretty exciting news. So later that day, in the middle of filming for his telethon, Mr. Robertson made time to meet with J.D. and Fred Schwartz. And guess what day it was? It was Thursday, a supposed impossibility, but the third miracle, a God appointment as prophesied. I wasn't in that meeting, but then again, neither was Jim Scannapico, who the article reported said that Lee fell on the floor and began speaking in tongues. So how could he know what happened in that meeting if he wasn't there? Actually, Jim and I were sitting together outside the studio, anxiously waiting to hear the news. I don't know how much time passed, but it was quite a while. And later my husband shared that they, Pat and Fred, had asked him if he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Seeing that he didn't know exactly what that was, they just laid hands on him and began praying over him. And indeed, he did begin speaking in tongues, which I believe is a precious gift that the Lord has provided for us and for a purpose. But he didn't fall on the floor, as the article tried to sensationalize and make him look crazy. And I think that two Christians as mature as Mr. Schwartz and Mr. Robertson would know if someone was phonying that experience, or for that matter, phonying the born-again experience, because someone had used the right vocabulary. So when they prayed over him, they expected him to speak in tongues, as they themselves did, and that's what they were praying for, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I do believe that a pure heart is discernible by a mature Christian, and easy to sense and to see. So Pat Robertson and Fred Schwartz were experienced business people and had run a Christian network for some time. I don't think that they would just simply hand someone $150,000 because they'd spoken in tongues, as the article reports. And after that meeting that afternoon, Fred paid for a nice hotel room for us to stay over, and he gave us a small down payment to help keep the doors of the company open. And that following day, we went to a prayer meeting at CBN where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But before any serious money exchanged hands, Pat Robertson sent one of his accountants down to our office to pore over our books, and sent one of his staff attorneys down as well. Obviously, anybody who runs a large enterprise like that is not just going to fork over money and be irresponsible without checking everything out. So the accountant, who was a lovely man, spent a week auditing everything in the company, making sure that everything added up and there was no hanky-panky anywhere. And when the accountant confirmed everything was on the up-and-up, he was then authorized to give us a check for the $150,000. On his way out of town, the accountant even wrote us a personal check of his own for $100. He just left it on the table for us, because he had seen from the books that he was pouring over that we had barely taken enough to eat on, and so he just wanted to bless us. Lovely man. So in conclusion, there is one thing that the article did report correctly. A deal had been struck with Pat Robertson, and it was indeed an answer to prayer provided by God's hand. But I'll let Josiah tell the story.